Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't have talked so much before the show because I fear that I've already burned through what voice I have for the day. By the end of the show, maybe it'll be like, and that's this week's show. Thanks for joining us. Patrice, where can people find you? You know, like, there's nothing creepy at all about that.
It sounds like Emperor Palpatine.
Right. Good. Good. Let the hate flow through you. All right. Opposite of hate. Patrice, how are you?
I'm good. It's I mentioned it in the pre-show, being a little bit mad of a week or weeks, to be honest. We have our biggest trade show next week, Tuesday, and I think I'm gonna be honest, I think my developers want to kill me. Like, it's they're like last minute, last second, they're like, oh, we didn't know this. I'm like, I've only been talking about it for 3 months, stuff like that. I'm like, oh. Like, hey, I wanted this to be done 3 weeks ago. Not now. So they're just doing an emergency update. So I hope it's fine.
It's going to be fine. And I say that because I have absolutely no skin in the game at all.
Oh my god, yes. No, it's true. I mean, to be fair, our production environment is working, is fine, is tested, and they're not touching that one. So, worst case, we'll not show the latest features, but show the stuff that's already there. So, we'll be fine. No, but I'm good. I'm still learning to fly. Haven't had a lesson since last week. I have one next week, I think Sunday. So, yeah. But the weather is beautiful.
I think it's super cool that you're becoming a pilot.
I hope so. I mean, as I keep saying, I still have to pass my medical. I took one more step there, so let's see if I get approved or not. But
I'll sign for you right now.
Okay.
My grandpa was a doctor.
Okay, so fine.
That clearly makes me qualified. I've played a doctor on stage.
Oh, it's there. That's all the qualification you need. You should be working at Astro Control. No, I'm kidding.
I should. And without elaborating anymore, I have also played doctor. So I'm clearly qualified.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I wonder why you're giving out those prescriptions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you need a prescription. Don't worry, the doctor will take care of you. Speaking of Dave, how's it going?
I'm doing good, thanks. Good to be back here on the show, and it's Friday, it's quiet, and getting some work done, and yeah, life's good.
That's awesome. Oh my god, Patrice. I just saw the live chat. Wait, were you there when all this went down?
No, but it feels like I was.
It's as if you were there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Marty, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks. I am a doctor, and I've tried to say, drop your pants to people, but they remind me I'm a doctor of counselor education, not a medical doctor.
Not a hard.
You just haven't asked me yet.
Yeah. You know, today I was gone last week at a conference that was completely draining, and then I came back, and this week was catch up for 2 weeks worth of work, and kind of caught up. But today is like restorative sleep day. I'll get some work done. There's no place I'd rather be than on the British Tech Network and the Mac Show, while the American economy is tanking before my eyes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yet you can watch the numbers drop in real time.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I just realized I didn't get the gray shirt memo for today.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell in this lighting, but I am actually wearing a blue shirt.
It is.
This is
so you are a doctor.
So I am a doctor.
Chef, this is like a lavender. It's not a gray.
Yeah,
Oh,
mine
mine's really.
is more blue-ish, but I'm
Okay.
command clearly because I got red, right?
That's true. Your command. I'm sciences. Marty is fabulous. And
That he is.
yeah. Hey, the stories we're gonna cover, I have to point out, Dave did all the heavy lifting for us because he lets us crib from the In Touch with iOS show notes. And excuse me. I believe everything that we're talking about today came from Dave's hard work.
I
So
thought you
Dave,
would
thank you
say,
for
came from the land down under.
that came from the land down under, and that people is a euphemism.
My God, we have so many show titles already.
I need to pace myself, or I'm gonna burn out like I don't know, 10 minutes into the show, which is what, about 3 minutes from now? Yeah. All right. So for first story we'll talk about today. Wait, did I get through everyone? Yes, I did. Okay. First story today is about Apple's presumed roadmap trajectory for adding non-invasive glucose monitoring to presumably the Apple Watch
To everything.
to everything. Right. I'm gonna stick an AirPod in my ear, and it's going to tell me what my heart rate is and my glucose level.
As long as it's not a home pod.
As long...
Oh,
but talk about that bass. Ooh.
I forgot to mention that last time too.
Yeah, okay, so did it just get hot in here? Anyhow, so the roadmap that we're looking at, and this is coming from Mark Gurman at Bloomberg, Apple is years and years away from this being a thing. And my take on this is, of course, they're years and years
Of
away.
course.
I never understood why people thought as soon as we started hearing about non-invasive blood glucose monitoring that it was going to be, like the Apple Watch 6 that
No,
gets it or
I
something.
think that predates even the Apple Watch. People, as soon as we had heard rumors about the Apple Watch, I think people started talking about that.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like it's been, I mean, 10, more than 10 years by now. And it's like, of course not, because if that was a thing, I mean, you would have a million companies out there already working, already publishing, or sorry, selling that.
Right.
Like, Apple is usually not on the forefront of medical hardware innovation. They do some cool stuff on like, let's say, consumer hardware, but when it comes to medical grade, they're usually not on the forefront.
I don't think they've ever been on the forefront.
Yeah, it's not, they're not a medical hardware company.
No, they're not. And getting approval for medical devices, excuse me, is a long, slow process,
Oh, I can tell
and
you.
it's not something that
Yeah.
you can keep secret.
No, exactly. I mean, they could try, but it's not going to succeed because you need big studies with like a lot of people and whatever. I mean, the reason they have been able to ship health features in your Apple Watch is mostly because they're kind of consumer grade and come with a lot of like asterisks and disclaimers or whatever. And the FDA basically said, okay, for this type of device, we basically waive the usual requirements. There's still some requirements, but we waive the usual requirements because that's not a medical device in that sense. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I really, really want this. So,
I do
my
too.
hopes and dreams are probably influencing my hope that it'll be on the next watch. And you would know more than me about this, but I think because it's non-invasive, there might be a faster track to it than or the tech. Nope.
Nope.
No faster track.
It's not that much faster. I mean, there is maybe there might be some extra tests and extra safety features if you're really like having to like draw blood or whatever you do. But it's not, I mean, the testing is not that much more, not that much different.
Well, I'm using one of those Libre 2 little buttons that you slap onto your arm, and Dave, I know, has got one.
I got
I just wish it would talk to my watch in real time. And so for me, the burden is on the company to kind of connect it to other devices instead of me having to open up the app on my phone all the time to look at it and or to take it. It gives me a sense of real time, because I can open it up between, running it and see that it's got some indication of where my blood sugar was. But I would really like to have it on the Apple Watch. And if the Apple Watch doesn't produce it, at least the company should produce something that connects directly to the Apple Watch and gives us the real time.
Actually,
And that is probably more likely to happen.
it is happening because I have the Dexcom, you have the Libre. The Dexcom does have integration to the Apple Watch, so I can say
Ooh.
that.
I would talk to my doctor the next time.
So, as a workaround in the meantime, and I'm not a fan of having to do workarounds, but I'm tossing this idea out in case there's some value in it. And if not, feel free to completely disregard everything I say, which probably isn't a bad idea in general. But can you set up a shortcut on your Apple Watch that periodically, like on a set schedule, opens that app for you?
No.
Well,
There's no schedule function in shortcuts.
how funny. I guess I've never needed to try and schedule something
It's there's event
with my
triggers where
shortcuts.
something happens and then it triggers it, but there's no scheduling in that sense.
But there you
But
are.
to be fair, I mean, I think this whole blood glucose monitoring thing, I mean, you like Marty and Dave, you might be a target audience as well, but I think what's more interesting is for all the people who don't have diabetes yet and don't have the monitors already. Because that's one of the things that the Apple Watch did really well is because it's monitoring your data all day, constantly, it can provide a lot of data to research and to medical providers that usually you wouldn't get because I mean even with the old like fingerprint pinprick measurement, you have exactly one data point every X hours. You don't see how it changes over time. With the ones that you have, you get more, and which is really interesting. But I think that the value and why Apple would want to do it is more so that everybody can have some level of measurement.
I've got to give my doctor credit because every time I go see him, I give him my iPhone. We open it up to the app. He's able to look at it, and he's able to he uses the data, which I think for many of us, this is a fun toy, but it's best if your physician, to the degree that he considers the accuracy of it, it gives him trends or ideas in terms of the medication management that I have for it. So,
And that's the value.
the thing is, it does, like the Dexcom, it does hook the app on the iPhone into the health app. So it's doing trends, and I'm getting reports of when my trends are up or down. So
And those you
even
can then export to your provider. I mean, if they have a
exactly.
supported system, you could even send the data directly, or worst case, PDF with whatever Excel sheet. There's many ways to do that. I do that even with like my data, if I share that.
Whereas the Dexcom is going to install an app on the watch that syncs with the app on the iPhone, and then you get so you can now check it directly on the watch, which I don't think the Libre can do.
Yeah, but through health, you can do that. Like if it integrates with health, then you get it everywhere on all your devices.
It's already going to be on the Apple Health app, yeah.
And then it's also on the watch. That's fine. But it require would require. I mean, if it doesn't connect directly to the watch, it requires that you have your phone close by so that you can send the data. And I think that's what Marty, what you want, right? You want it basically, you can leave your house just with your watch and your sensor and it works.
Yeah, and I want to be able to just look down at my watch, tap it, and just see what's going on in the moment instead of having to take the app out, open it up, do a test, and close it down.
Have like a complication. So you just see your
But as I said, with Apple Health integration, that should be possible.
Hey, you go back to the accuracy too. I find sometimes, I don't know if you've seen this, Marty, but the app sometimes doesn't, I don't think it's a true reading. So I think sometimes it's way too high. I'm like, there's no way it's this high. So then because I still maintain the prick, with the meter. So that it does allow for you to do calibration. With the so I put I do the reading with the test strip, and then I put that into the app and I say calibrate. So then at least can calibrate, but it's not, but by no means is it flawless. It has its
I mean,
flaws.
no measurement is
Well,
flawless, like.
I field test it every night because I have a drawer down here that's full of chocolate and Smarties,
Marty is
and
Smarty. Good
just before I go
science.
to bed. And
Another showtime.
it just skyrockets. And the thing that I also don't like about the Libre app is that when it goes over the level that you have set, it sets off this obnoxious
Oh,
alarm,
so is the next stop.
really loud, obnoxious alarm. And to that purpose, I told my doctor, and he goes, "Oh, you can shut those alarms off." Well, if I shut those alarms off, then I'm losing some of the functionality of what it's there for. So, yeah, that's again why I'd rather have it just kind of bypass it. And I do shut off the alarms, but it only lets you do it for like 6 hours at a time. So,
I'd rather have, I just have the notification come up. I mean, that you're right. That alarm is absolutely obnoxious. I mean,
I
it
mean, it
happens
has a
to.
purpose if someone really has a problem and has to do something with it.
Right.
But
Whether you're low or high,
yeah, especially on the low
Yeah, the
end, I
problem
would
is
guess, but yeah.
the problem is I've been shoving chocolate into my mouth.
No, I mean, I know, like, my mom has type 1, and, like, she, like, sometimes it goes really low, and she has to, like, eat some chocolate,
Right.
and that is helpful information and helpful alarm if, like, oh,
Oh
you're
yeah.
really low.
For
So.
sure.
So what I'm hearing is if you get type 1 diabetes, that you can now write off chocolate as a medical expense.
You wish, no.
Well, then I'm not going to try and get
You
diabetes. Screw it.
can get or you can get the
Opa Peach.
tab.
You're saying, isn't there some new device that does some the simple blood test from just a pinprick called Theranos or something? Oh, wait a
Oh,
second.
yeah, and it's doing well currently on the
It's really
American
doing
stock
well.
market.
It's performing in line with other stocks.
Oh, that is actually true. Anyway. Yeah. No. I mean, I hope Apple will keep pushing the Apple Watch. There is stuff they can do. I don't know if they can do blood pressure like Bob Beach wanted. I mean, at least not in the way it's done right now. Maybe they can figure out a fun way or a not fun way, a different way how to measure it. Currently,
How
they can't.
about build it into your watch band? So you're walking along, and all of a sudden, your watch band goes poof.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, getting my blood pressure again.
No, as I said, it would be, I mean, the thing, as I said, with the Apple Watch is for normal consumers. Like, if you need medical grade, if you need medical info, the dedicated devices are better because they're dedicated. The advantage of the Apple Watch is you're wearing it all day. It can measure however many times it wants, every minute, every 5 minutes, every hour, whatever. And that is the advantage of it. You're literally wearing it all day. So anything they can do with that is gonna be great.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah,
All
I like the
right.
temperature measurements. Like, most people don't care about them. I think they're helpful.
Well,
They're super helpful for a lot of people.
I don't, the iPhone doesn't do it, but I have a Pixel 8 that I realize it has it, that it's got the, you tap it for the temperature, you put the phone right up to your forehead and it measures your temperature.
There used to be a third-party app
On the
that would
iPhone?
do that for the iPhone. And there
I don't
was
know how
a
dated.
third-party.
There was, I mean, there's definitely third-party hardware, like the, what was it called, FLIR, FLIR,
FLIR, yeah,
FLIR,
FLIR,
yeah.
FLIR, FLIR.
I mean, there's definitely third-party hardware that can do that, 100%.
I'm using an Oura ring, and just it was a gadget. I wanted to get it, and it's giving me more valuable information, including temperature changes and heart rate, average heart rate across things. And I know some of that you can get through the Apple Watch, but this is something I've always got on my hands. Whereas when I'm sleeping, I don't wear my watch. So it's an easy way to gather metric, and it doesn't do blood pressure yet, Jeff. I can imagine it swelling up on my finger and turning it blue to take my blood pressure, but.
I'm looking forward to the video. And here I'm demoing how the ring takes my blood pressure. Get it off, get it off.
I'm wearing it on the wrong finger though. That's the problem. I'm
Yeah. All right. Well, we might as well talk about more stuff as long as we're here. And the Apple Card still hasn't made it to the UK, and Apple already has companies that are fighting over who's going to be
Literally.
they're literally fighting over who's going to be the network behind the Apple Card. So currently it's MasterCard, and according to a Wall Street Journal report, that Visa and American Express are both fighting to get that deal with Apple. So presumably, when Apple replaces, wow, help me, people, my brain isn't fully functioning yet. Goldman Sachs.
Yes.
So apparently, all I needed was you here for moral support for me to remember that one. Thank you. So when Apple's partnership with Goldman Sachs ends, then presumably their network deal could be up in the air, in addition to who's actually providing the card. So it looks like Visa and Amex are trying to get in on that action. And
I
there you
mean,
go.
it's really interesting. Like, I mean, Apple doesn't have to switch there's two parts to this
The
whole
network
thing.
and the
So you
bank.
have to, exactly, you have the network and you have the bank. Goldman Sachs is the bank, but not the network. Network is actually MasterCard. So they don't really have to switch, but I mean, if they're changing cards anyway, might as
Well,
well consider that, right?
and Visa is making it lucrative by offering $100 million for that right. But one thing with American Express is American Express is a card, but it's also a bank. So it could be both. So that's an advantage there. But yeah, it's rather interesting. We hadn't heard much about Goldman Sachs for last year because they were talking about their breaking their partnership, and it's been kind of quiet, honestly. But now this story's ramping things up here and making it even more interesting to see where they go. And then don't count out MasterCard. I'm sure they're pushing forward too. They don't want to just walk away from this, so.
I mean,
Sure.
it also tells you something. We've heard the whole stories about, oh, Goldman Sachs wants out of it because they're losing money, blah blah blah. It's not lucrative, it's a failure. You know, the typical thing we hear from
They want out of
about
consumer
Apple.
business.
But here we have a
Yeah,
bunch
I.
of companies like basically asking Apple or giving Apple money to like do it for them. So it must be worth it for them.
Yeah, it's and you've mentioned it. It really is the data that's of value to them, not necessarily how much money the company's gonna make off the card or not make off the card. I like a good cage match. And so, if there's only one person standing in a cage match, it's not gonna be very entertaining. But we have potentially three and maybe more jumping in to wanna get the card. And I hope it only improves it improves the possibilities of the product and maybe extends it to other countries. And because again, the data is what's important. So,
They got 12 million users and they have 20 billion in deposits. So, I mean, there's some big money, big numbers there with this too. So that's why it's very lucrative in that sense. I think
I
Bill
mean,
Sharpe, more Sachs just wants to be out of the consumer. They're done with it.
I still don't believe the whole oh, it's a failure and they're not making money on it.
Yeah, I find it
I
hard.
mean, just I
Yeah.
mean, even if it's only the people like us who are using it, there's a ton of transactions that are going through it, and I mean, they charge for those transactions, and they don't do that under under what it costs them to do it. So if you have a big business and you have a network and you have everything set up and you're basically just adding another card to it, it doesn't matter for you. You basically it pays for itself more or less, and you get the data. So I don't think it's I said, and I still from I mean what we're seeing, what we're hearing, it's one of the most attractive credit cards right now on the market. People really seem to like them.
And I heard that it's also the people who are attracted to using it are good investment. I mean, are good on their returns in terms of the card. So they're less likely to default, which makes it a market of people who are going to be using it, and also making sure the card is the cost of the card is covered. What I love about it is daily cash just goes right into my Apple Bank account. And guess where that Apple Bank account goes? Back to Apple when it's time to
Exactly.
purchase.
So win-win
Yep.
for Apple, for you, for them.
Apple does make it very easy to spend that Apple account money with
Exactly.
Apple.
Transferring in and out.
So,
Yep.
I mean, is it a success or a failure? We don't know. We don't know the numbers behind it, but I doubt it. I mean, otherwise nobody would care.
Yeah. So I noticed in the chat that there's been some talk about being frustrated waiting for Apple Card to come to the UK.
Yes.
This
Or Europe.
or Europe, deals like this don't necessarily mean that the Apple Card will come sooner, because this is the network part. It's about the banks.
Yes. The
So
bank
Apple
is the
needs the
question.
bank deals.
Yeah, and I mean
Regulation.
that was the problem with Goldman Sachs. They were barely in the consumer market in the US, let alone anywhere else.
Right.
So unless you have a big international bank, and there is not very many that are a big international consumer bank, I should say, because there is others. It's difficult. It's not big that the banks don't might not want to. It's more that they have to, do a lot of regulatory stuff to get approved. And that's sometimes country by country, like in Europe, for example. It's not, oh, you do EU and then you're fine.
So,
Thank you, BioPH Retail Bank. Yes.
retail bank. There we go.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that means people like Bob Beach and the third
And
are
me.
going to continue waiting, and you, Patrice, are going to continue waiting for Apple Card because Apple doesn't have a bank deal in
They
the EU or the UK.
and they've done it in the past. They worked with Barclays in the UK, but they cancelled that for some reason.
Wasn't a good plan. And obviously they must have had some relationship issues with Barclays. It's possible.
Maybe, or there
I had
was,
that card to go. I mean, but it didn't have they're very good perks.
or they thought they would work with a bank and canceled it, and then turns out that fell through. Like maybe it was up for a renewal, and they're like, "Oh, we're going to work with whatever insert Goldman Sachs maybe was like, oh, we're going to work in UK. And I was like, okay, then we'll not like extend that contract. And then didn't happen.
So, sorry, UK and EU friends.
Yes.
You still have to wait. All right, next story. Excuse me. Brazil is now investigating Apple based on a complaint from Meta about how Apple is using app tracking. And so what the complaint says is that there's evidence that Apple is collecting and processing information from its users under more favorable conditions than it offers to third parties. So Meta's not happy because, of course, they want all the data because that's what has value to them. I find this interesting because I've been under the impression that Apple actually has stricter guidelines that it follows internally about data collection. So I thought that Apple was getting by choice and by design less information than third parties would potentially have access to.
Pot meet kettle.
True.
Sort of like yeah, this is all the stuff the other guys are doing that's bad, but please don't look this way. Don't pay attention to
Right.
the man behind the curtain or the meta behind the curtain, I guess I'd
The
say.
meta behind
Yeah,
the curtain. Yeah.
I
I
think a
mean,
big part of this. Oh, go ahead, Patrice.
it, I mean, if you were if you're me you were meta, wouldn't you do the same thing? Like, I mean, it's basically, hey, our business is to vacuum up all data we can get about a user, and Apple is stopping us from doing so. And since they're under scrutiny right now in a lot of places, maybe we should try that. I would do that. Is it going to be successful? We'll see, but.
Well, part of their argument is that they have to ask permission to collect data, which is part of Apple's app.
App tracking transparency.
Thank you, app tracking transparency, and so that means that they ask permission and have to disclose what information they're collecting. Meta has never ever wanted to disclose what they're collecting because it's insane how much data they're collecting. So of course they don't want to do that. But tied to that, they're saying, well, Apple isn't asking you, so that's not fair.
Yeah, which I mean, I've made that argument. They might have a point, actually. A very, very small point. Like, but there is
What's the
some Apple. I mean, Apple is like that sometimes, where they're like, "Hey, like we want you to follow the rules, but we won't." Like, you are not
so
allowed to do
what
marketing over push notifications, but Apple can do it.
about I mean, why Brazil? The article talks about they managed to squeeze some France managed to squeeze some money out of them for a similar reason, and now they've kind of moved down to Brazil.
I believe it's because this is where Meta chose to file a complaint.
Yeah, I mean it's where they
But
think they can make where they think they can make money, right?
yeah, the article doesn't go into why, for me, why Brazil seems to be a better target than any other country, including the US, for Meta to file a lawsuit there. So.
I mean, it's a big country. That probably means a big fine. They seem to be open to fining or working against Apple because they've done that in the past already. Yeah, why not? I mean, that's all, probably the same reason why it's France. Because within the EU, that's probably the place you this will go through.
Okay, so here's what I would do. If I were Meta, I would file these cases in smaller countries relatively speaking, that have laws that are favorable to my complaint, where I believe that I have a higher likelihood of getting a ruling in my favor. I'm going to stack up a few of these. Then right. I go to the big guys and I say, look, we've got all these rulings already. And now your case becomes a lot easier in the big countries.
You might even be encouraged to file it because, like, hey, why are those countries getting money and we don't?
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. Clearly, I'm starting to run out of steam because I just completely lost interest in the topic.
Yeah, I honestly wasn't super interested to begin with.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, Patrice, let's mix it up. Do you mind telling people about the live chat?
Of course. So we have a really cool live chat system, live.britishtechnetwork.com, where we stream this very show. And if you want to join us when we do that, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, so this show, and also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show when we talk about, well, I don't know, chip design, anything but Apple, basically. There's like space and chips and Microsoft and AI and whatever. There's like a million other topics. Whatever time zone that is for you, you have to figure out because, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff. But good news is we're back to, at least until October, I think, we're back to the same time for everybody. And then in October, the same shenanigans happened again. Was it November? I don't remember. See, I don't even know. Somewhere end of the year.
It's all messed up.
It's all messed up. Somewhere end of the year, US switches back to standard time and Europe switches back a different time. And we have the same mess again. So one of these days we'll stop doing that. But you can go there. There's the live video. There's next to it the live chat, just like you know it from other platforms. And it gives you really interesting names like the Goth Apic. I think I saw a different one before. If I scroll up a little bit, Cranky Scoober, for example. It just generates funny names. Tender Alien. No, Tender Ellen. Alien would be fun too. It just generates funny names. But if you want to change it up top, there's a purple little drop down button. Tap it, click it, whatever, change name, you change your name, that's it. Super easy. And if and when our website is back up, you will find also the transcripts for what we talked about in the chat. Actually, I forgot to copy yesterday, so I'll have to ask the others to share their stories with me and the cool things. And we'll put that back on the website. Yeah, that's it. Nothing else to say.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing that and saving us from what was kind of a mess story that we needed to mention and then meh. So let's do something far less meh and do some cool things. And I was about to say who has the first one, but of course it's Dave.
Well, this is sitting on my doorstep. I just got it, ordered it the other day because it was part of my...
Turns the camera, there's an Airbus A380 or something.
Yeah, it might be hard in the office. It was one of a number of couple things I got for my 25th workout anniversary for free. So this is the Rode Wireless Go, the Gen 3 compact wireless mic. I'm looking forward to playing around with this. This is some really cool little wireless mics that can have lots of different applications to it, as well as you can get an accessory lavalier mic that, with a 3.5 inch plug to clip it onto your lapel. Real good quality sounds from what everybody's saying, and it's got a lot of great reviews, and it's got the one transmitter, two receivers, or I think one receiver, two transmitters, so the two mics, and you can use it without the lavalier, and it can clip right on, but it works with a camera, with a smartphone, with the Rodecaster Duo, which I have coming as well, and this is a really good wireless set for only $268. Not a bad deal for the price. Then you can get other extra accessories with it. But I'm looking forward to trying it out and have it ready to use for Mac stock. That's for sure.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing these at Mac Stock because, not going to lie, I covet these. These are the lav mics that, if I needed to have lav mics on a regular basis like I used to, I would have invested in these.
You don't have to have the lav there. I'm going to probably buy a couple of the extra the 3.5 inch lavalier that I hook up to it, but you can
Yeah.
just clip this right to your lapel as it is,
Yeah, I
and
know I
that's
call them
good.
lav mics, but
But they are lavs,
that's
really. They're just a little bit. It's a box.
yeah.
So
Okay.
it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Cool thing. All right, who is the next cool thing?
Well, I had to wait because I knew Dave and I have kind of been parallel with that, and I wanted to wait to see what Dave would pick, and he picked the lavalier mic or the Rode mics, and mine are sitting on the doorstep right now downstairs. I have. And the weird thing is I used DJI's last week to record a couple of shows in the car or record a show in the car for Gear Up and Go, a podcast that I do, and was able to clean up the sound really nice on the podcast with it from the road trip. So I was curious about these and kind of wanted to get them to begin with. And so they're sitting waiting for me. And then Dave, of course, chose it. So I had to search through my Amazon and did not have to go far to find products that I bought.
That's
And
me.
Dave is losing it because he knows that. And so I have fallen in love with and have for a long time Native Union products. And with my, I come from my home office. I go to the university. I have to do some work on my laptop. I don't need to bring a big over-the-shoulder bag with a bunch of stuff in it. I just need to bring my laptop and I need to have it relatively protected. So these magnetic or strip ends that you can slide into sleeves and then close it up and lock it in, just perfect for carrying back and forth and protecting the MacBook. So that's my cool thing this week.
Nice, and they do make good products.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's a good thing that I have self-control. Otherwise, I would have just spent a lot of money right now between the two
Yeah,
of you.
I actually had to buy I bought sandstone, which is not necessarily my favorite color. But I need it I need a different color when I grab and go. Okay, this is where
Sure.
my laptop's going to be. This is where my iPad's going to be. Because I can't just do all blue and black. So
Yep, had to color code.
yep.
Yep. Awesome. Okay, Patrice, let's see how much money you could potentially cost me.
The good news for you is none. Because
Oh,
if you
because I'm already paying.
because you're already paying for Apple TV Plus. So, there's a really cool show called Berlin ER. Has actually a fun title in German, because it is a German show, but it is available, as far as I know, dubbed or with subtitles. Either way, it works for you. But it's original in German. It plays in Berlin. In German, it's Krank Berlin, so Sick Berlin, which is also fun, like, play on the words basically. And it's about a hospital a very interesting hospital emergency room in Berlin. And the stuff that's happening. So it's kind of a mix between, I want to say, I mean, it's kind of like a, I don't know, what was the other ER show? Was it called ER? I think it was just called ER.
The pit.
The
Well,
Pit
the
is
pit's
probably
the other one I was going to
similar.
mention. I
Yeah,
absolutely love.
the pit, like there are similar shows like that, but what I really liked about this one is It's less about the medical stuff. There's some medical stuff that happens for sure, but it's more about the people, and they have like there's different, let's say, subgroups. So there's two actors, actresses. They're playing like they're driving around in the EMT vehicle, and like what do they experience? And there's like an older guy who has like I think 40-ish years experience, and a young lady who is just learning basically. And like those dynamics, there's like the head of the ER. Basically, she fled Munich and a really good job because she slept with her boss basically, or had a relationship with him even, and that didn't end well. So she went there, and basically everybody has in this very high pressure environment has their own issues that they bring with, right? And that's very very human. And I've heard from some people who have worked in actually in that ER even, that or in Berlin at least in the ER, they're saying, yeah, it's actually relatively close to reality. I mean, still entertainment and still, yeah, they can't show everything, but it's actually supposedly quite close to reality. The pressure at least and the stuff that you see there. And also the lack of funding and money that they have to deal with oftentimes. Where they're like, I mean, she arrives like in a pilot of day one, and it's like basically computers are more or less broken, the equipment, half of it doesn't work, and like it's just a mess all over the place. And the people are kind of under so much pressure that they're cracking, basically, because they're also understaffed and stuff like that. So it's a really good show. I really like the characters. I don't know. I usually don't like German shows, so there's still some aspect I'm like, I really don't like this, because in German, I don't know, they don't speak like normal people. I don't know why that is in TV shows. Like literally, I mean, it's like I'm like, who wrote this? Like this is not how people talk. But what was interesting is that the cast had to go through real medical training. Yeah, and in an ER, basically, they shadow
Oh,
people and
interesting.
learned really how to do things, and you can tell because there's so many little things they're doing, like I don't know, walking and turning off devices while they're doing things and whatever, walking and doing certain things, walking and talking and exchanging information real quickly and so on. So many little things that you notice. You're like, okay, someone they really learned how to do that and how to behave like real professionals. So pretty cool show. And
Well,
Apple TV Plus.
there's a lot of this seems like this genre of shows lately. There's been a lot of ER medical shows, like we just mentioned, The Pitt. My favorite show is one of the Chicago shows they have on NBC, Chicago Med, Chicago
Yes.
Fire, Chicago PD. I
It's
watch those
always
religiously
been,
every week. So there's just so many of these great shows
but
like this.
to be fair, I think this is one of the genres that never really went away. I mean, there's been ER, there's been Scrubs, there's been House, there's been so many, like there's been, I mean, Grey's Anatomy, like there's been so many sometimes very
Still going.
long-running shows. I think this is a genre that just people like find interesting, and since it's like real life and medical is very complex and very interesting sometimes, and very different, like no day is like the other. I think there's enough stories in there. You don't run out of, because at the end of the day, it's humans. You see all, I mean, that's something any doctor will tell you. You see all of humanity and literally all of it. Good, bad, whatever. You see it. So, yeah, good show.
Awesome. All
Krank
right.
Berlin.
Well, Patrice, you inspired me to change my cool thing.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay, so fair warning, I believe this is out of print, but it's an absolutely fascinating book. It's called The Knife and Gun Club, Scenes from an Emergency Room. And it's a book, like a photo book with all kinds of actual stories. So it is factual, not fiction, about what life is like in what they call an inner city urban ER.
From
The Knife and
1989.
Gun Club. Yes. Now, the Knife and Gun Club, That's the nickname of the ER at Denver General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a well-earned reputation. The DGH ER is known throughout the United States as one of the busiest ERs.
Mm-hmm.
And so now in retrospect, when I read the book, I now wish I had bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so if you can come across a copy of The Knife and Gun Club, Scenes from an Emergency Room, it is super interesting. And I think it fits in nicely with Berlin ER.
It does.
Bob Beach is noting that can only be an American title. And Bob Beach, you are absolutely right.
I'm next to not so sure.
It's still available on Amazon. I just checked it on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And I just put the link in there. If you want to spend $37.
Yeah. they have, yeah, $44 or...
Hardcover, $114.
Oh, so you can get it in paperback for $44?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really interesting book. And, yeah, and there's a reason why the DGH ER is called the Knife and Gun Club.
Yeah, and Bob Beach is saying in the UK the knife club is becoming increasingly popular. Yeah, same I think in other countries.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Less guns, more knives.
Yeah. So, all right. So with that, it is, I believe, time for us to wrap up. And somehow my voice seems relatively still intact. Mm-hmm. So go me. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I am almost every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays and on the Big Show on Thursdays. I think next week I'll probably only be on the Mac Show because during the Big Show, I think I'm on the way to the airport in Berlin. So I'm actually in Berlin. I hope I don't ever end up in that ER. Fingers crossed.
Right.
Now that we talked about that. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, takes you there. And Jeff and I have a really cool podcast called Retro Rewatch, and I always like to show that really cool mug with the awesome logo that Jeff designed.
Mine's in the dishwasher, as we speak.
Very cool. At some point,
sticker.
We have someone with a sticker. Yeah, at some point we should also do a giveaway of those mugs. Like, we can buy a couple more and give them away. Probably, let's see. I don't know if I will manage today or somewhere over the weekend, but I'll definitely do that. There will be part one of season two, episode, I want to say 10, Tok'ra. Or the Tok'ra, mm-hmm. Part one should be out. So Stargate SG-1 season two episode, I think it's 10.
That makes sense because I believe it was about mid season ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so, not as if I could just look it up, but
if only we had, tools for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 10 was Bane. So it's 11 in this case.
Okay. So you were, very close.
Off by one, as always. Typical.
Well, considering, right, but you know, considering how the show order for some of these episodes doesn't match up with the episode orders from like IMDb.
Yes.
I mean, you could be off by a couple and still technically be right.
We're still dealing with that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Hey, I want to point out that the lighting has changed enough that, Patrice, it's very clear now your top is not gray.
Good.
Yeah. It's amazing what lighting and cameras mm-hmm. and just how that can impact colors.
Mm-hmm.
True. Okay, total side note. I'm gonna rabbit hole here for a second. So, you know, when you see TV shows from when and movies also from when the transition from doing everything in black and white to doing things in color happened, the colors that you see like in, for walls and set dressings and stuff. It's like these grays and weird sort of pale green colors, and it just looks like an odd color choice. And it's because what happened was they started filming in color, but all the sets and all the props were painted for black and white television, so they'd get the right contrast between different items there. So for a while, you have TV shows and movies where you have these really weird, almost bland color combinations because of the lighting and the fact that they were shooting originally in black and white. So there you go. Now you know.
Now you know.
And this is why I can't remember things like my own address, because stuff like this is stuck in my head.
That is so true.
All right. Excuse me. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night with most of us here, and sometimes Patrice when she feels like being up late. And then you also find me here on Fridays, and I'm on Mastodon and Blue Sky at DaveG65.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, as long as I'm talking about colors and changes, Marty, with the purple mic cover on your mic, it does change how the color of your shirt is perceived. So I bet if you went with a color other than purple, the kind of periwinkle-ish color in your shirt would start to come out more.
Well, Jeff, I'm colorblind, so it really doesn't... I really can't tell the difference
I can. So thank you for humoring me with with your different color.
You know, here's what I think covers. We could do is we can change all our cameras to a black and white feed, and we could do a black and white show sometime.
We could.
That would be freaky.
Absolutely do that.
Summer of fun.
You can find me and my stuff. Well, you can find me at Jencius, JENCIUS, at mastodon.social, and probably more so on Blue Sky. And then the stuff that I do, if you just go to the podtalk.net, you'll see connections to Vision Profiles, podcast, videocast that we do 9 p.m. on Monday nights, Eastern Standard Time. And then Tuesdays with Chuck on Mac Voices, Thursdays with Dave on In Touch with iOS, and then a host of other podcasts that I'm involved in producing. So you can check them out at thepodtalk.net.
Awesome. All right. And I almost forgot about me. So you can find me on the social medias, Jay Gamut, everywhere, but I'm posting mostly on Mastodon and PixelFed. Excuse me. Then for shows, I don't have the energy to get through all of them. So how about Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS? Dave, thank you again for letting us steal from your show notes. The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, and as Patrice pointed out, Retro Rewatch. And I'm very much looking forward to having our discussion about the Tok'ra out there in the wild. All right. So with that, thank you to the three of you for making this just an absolutely wonderful Friday morning kickoff for me. And I hope I sound more enthusiastic than I feel, because I am genuinely happy that I get to spend my Friday morning with all three of you. I'm also happy that we have our people that are watching and listening live. Thank you to all of you for being here. Everyone that's participating in the live chat, Thank you for that as well. It's really cool getting to chat with all of you in real time. Hey, everyone that watches or listens to the show's recordings later on, thank you for being part of this as well. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And everyone, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend and stay out of the Knife and Gun Club.
Please do.